Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, friends and neighbors. Well, friends close by, friends far away. What in the world is going on in your green world today? Welcome into the Garden Mama Show. Thank you so much for being here. I have learned something officially today that I did not know. Lance didn't even tell me. You've been keeping things from me, sir.
What we got going on?
It's National Dog Dad Day.
Oh, I'm a dog dad.
All day long.
Yeah, man. Did I get presents?
I was going to say, I didn't even know to bring a present. I had no idea. That's one I can kind of like. I had no idea there was such a thing, and I don't care who made it up. I think it's a great idea.
Well, I do have the live, you know, the prep sheet open here for Monday, ready to go, and I didn't look at that yet. So let's see what we have on this day. You had Flag Day on Friday.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And yes. You also had Strawberry Shortcake Day, which was Friday.
Which is, frankly, memorable no matter what day
it
happens.
And then Bourbon Day on Friday. So that set up
should be
your
Blueberry
weekend.
Shortcake Day at my house.
And then today is also Smile Power Day.
So okay.
A good day to smile.
I've been practicing.
Mm-hmm. And National Photography Day as well today.
So oh, dear. Okay.
Some good pics. That's what we're hoping
well,
for
that's
out
the day.
There, listeners.
That's for you to put yourself up here with us and, yeah. And get yourself to supertalk.tv so you
that's
can see your
right.
Pictures on the television, on the radio.
And I imagine we'll have a busy day with the pictures.
I trust.
We already great start by Trey and the BLT. without the lettuce. Looks amazing. Goodness gracious.
Where's your lettuce?
Yeah, you don't even need it on that thing. Golly. Starting
good looking.
Me off, making my tummy
really,
rumble.
Really, really good looking melon, too. And, of course, the ongoing tomato patch. It's just beautiful. But I have to tell you, I have had two BLTs from my tomatoes this week, and, in fact, actual bacon. But I did pay a lot for the lettuce. So mm-hmm. I understand what he's, you know, if I didn't grow it, I don't necessarily want to eat it, but I got to have that little lettuce crunch thing on there. So
also, I love the BLT now. I haven't had one recently, but I know that there's been some tomatoes have showed up at the house.
Aha. Uh-huh. It's time. They have to find their fate.
Pretty.
That's exactly right.
And they're ready to be eaten. So I think this weekend will be the commencement.
This will be the beginning
BLT.
Of the season.
Yeah, that's the season.
That's right.
It is the season, right?
Well, this is interesting. I'm just going through my show preps, and it turns out that my printer ran out of ink, so I have no idea what was on these three pages.
Yeah, that's good. It's a blank page.
That does happen. In that case,
open book.
Literally. We can talk about Doggy Daddy Day over here.
Yeah, mine was. I don't know if he knew that it was Doggy Daddy Day, but Buddy, he was. Loving this morning.
Yeah,
well,
you know,
the weather's been
it's
so
pleasant.
Yeah,
it's
the
very pleasant.
It's like when I get up, they're ready to go.
You even I mean? Even it's my cats were happy today, which they aren't always in the morning. They
oh,
want to
yeah.
be fed at the moment my foot hits the floor, and that's not going to happen.
Butterscotch, so. He was ready to go for food this morning. And but it is the weather we've had has been very pleasant. I know that people's plants have probably been enjoying that a lot. I know mine have. It seems like the squash grew 3 extra feet.
Oh, there you are.
And put on 5 more flowers with that kind of nice.
They're pretty.
It wasn't so hot. It didn't melt everything. And I was those things are looking good. I don't know if I'm gonna get any squash off
There's
of it.
There's a lot of flowers on those vines. I have one squash.
Beautiful.
I have one squash on about 4 square feet of vines.
I just take the flowers. They're so pretty. I love the yellow flower.
Well, a friend dropped me off the other day and said, "Do you ever fry those squash blossoms? If you decide you're tired of waiting for that, let me know."
Really?
You know, they are good. You stuff them with something, usually some kind of cheese and breadcrumb sort of situation, and then fry them briefly, and they're actually quite delicious. They have a sweetness that you wouldn't imagine a squash flower would have.
Okay.
Squash blossoms.
The dog likes them. I've had to keep him away from those. A couple of them fell off, and He had a good time.
He enjoyed that. Yeah. Something's really nice out here in the courtyard. I noticed that the abelia has returned. Y'all, if y'all don't know about abelia and you're trying to put in maybe plants that are both very hardy and also absolutely spectacular for the summer pollinators. You know, we think about spring, but now we got to think about summer and what we're going to, how we're going to nourish them, where the nectar is going to come from. And abelia is an excellent choice. You will see many more nowadays small abelia shrubs that are about, top out about 3 feet tall or even smaller, brightly colored leaves and flowers. They're really lovely. But the one that is doing so well here, the one that has recovered from what appeared to be, frankly, a fatal winter injury, is now in full bloom with all the little white trumpets and little pink trumpets and stuff. It's really pretty. But that one's called Edward Goucher. So if you're looking for a shrub that is more like 5 feet tall and kind of big, but also a different texture, it's not like a sasanqua. It's a shrubby thing. And it has a little twiggy business to it. Now, if you've got those in your garden and yours, like the ones here, are maybe they took a hit, shall we say. They had a rough time this particular winter and probably the result of last year, too. The good news is that although we generally prune thickety things, little tiny stems like the Japanese spireas and the abelias, we prune those in the winter generally to kick them off on the right foot for the spring. But you can also shear the flowers off after they're dried. It will also help some growth come up on the little branches inside of the canopy, and it will also bring on more flowers. So consider abelia, if you will. I like it. I think you will, too. I did not – there's so many things I don't know. But I did learn one, in addition to National Dog Dad Day. That's hard to say without making a mistake. Let's see. Who says you can't grow celery? That's really pretty. That's our friend Mark's garden. He will be here next week because I will not. That's a promo. It's a teaser. You're going to get a whole morning with peaches. It'll be fun. Well, and of course, he who runs the show, that would be Lance. we don't make a move without you over here.
You know, so. I had to go out to the county line area of Simpson and Rankin about a week ago. And, again, it was Rivers. I know that.
Yeah.
I meant to stop in. I wasn't able to, didn't have the time. But man, I wanted. It looked like there
was a beautiful
place.
Yeah,
it looked like some goodies there that I needed to head back down.
Quite a few of my plants came from there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
So anyway, we've got so many great garden centers in this area. We have the opportunity to shop, and quite frankly, y'all, it's June. They are beautifully stocked. This is not the end of the season. I say this every year, and more people are listening to me. If you just water your plants, you're going to be able to grow. And the other part is, no matter how hot it gets, we do have plants that can make it. So get yourselves to the garden centers. It's fun. I am fascinated by this question. I think this is so smart. What causes my tomato plants to turn yellow? Oh, this is such a good question because there are a lot of things. But because Kathy is a smart gardener, she says, planted with calcium, have fertilized with tomato fertilizer once a month, and applied Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, spinosad is the name of that, to control some insects. Watering has been inconsistent because of all the rain, but why are they turning yellow? So we can make the presumption that it's not a fertilizer problem because she's fertilizing them. If she wasn't, and the lower leaves were turning yellow like this, we would say right away, you need nitrogen, okay? But in this case, there's not a whole lot of spotting. There is, however, a little bit of an indication of blight. And frankly, it's more likely with all the rain that the blight spores are going to wash up off of the soil surface onto these leaves. So I'm going to take off those lower leaves, leave about 6 inches of naked stem above the ground level, and mulch the plants. And unless the damage continues up into the plant, I'm not going to do anything else. If you feel like you need to treat something else, there's some other leaves that I can't see, for example, that you know might be getting a little bit of a yellow in them or some spots in them, you can certainly go ahead and continue to treat. But I don't think that's necessary. I think what you're going to find is that this is not an insect-vectored problem. This is just a problem with the soil. And where it washes up onto the lower leaves, it brings us the blight. So I think that's a fairly straightforward question, and at the same time, it's one that everybody asks. I have been out in my tomato plants. They're in containers. I have picked some fruit. I have some fruit ripening, and I have some fruit just now forming. And I have to tell you that the plants are looking tired. they look like they would like a big dose of fertilizer, but I'm not going to do that. I'll give them a half dose to keep them greened up enough to continue growing, but I don't want to knock the fruit off. And when it gets hot, of course, then you have to water and fertilize and then water and hope that the plants can make it through that particular time. This is just lovely. Amanda, beautiful, beautiful firecracker sunflowers. That's wonderful.
Oh, and I get the honor. You know, I threw this one on you yesterday, I think. I get to do the weather for the Delta now.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
so
indeed.
Those of you in the Delta, if you're depending on my weather report Monday through Friday,
you'll hear it.
You're going to hear it. And I promise you, I'll get better at it as I go. And I'll start using AI to get as much prognostication. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to go off in a way, man.
You're going to go stand outside and put your finger into the wind. No.
Like my finger, throw some grass up. That's a 7-mile-an-hour wind coming out the southeast.
I will say this, even though it's much farther south than the Delta or any of us at this moment, there's some pretty interesting tropical activity going on down there. Is that the Bay of Campeche? That's in down there on the edge of Mexico by Yucatan? There's some activity, and I think it's going to move on. I even know that it could be named today, so it's interesting. Tropical storm,
that
though.
Time of year.
Tropical storm, not hurricane yet. But interestingly enough,
I was telling my mother, I said, yeah, I think I'm going to start doing Delta weather. And she goes, you know, it's hurricane season. That's going to be interesting because there's lots of weather, you know, different options. And the Delta gets it all. I mean, it's every piece of that.
Very true.
Coming from the south, coming from the north, coming from the west. And then I'm in the Delta a lot, so that'll be fun. But, yeah, you know, you learn a lot more. So 97 in the Delta today. Be careful outside.
That's good advice.
It is.
That is good advice.
So thank you for you guys are listening in. You're on top of it today. Great images.
You know it.
And 97, that's the way to start off a day.
I got to say, Terry and Bogachita, I'm going to go out there and put something over that watermelon. I don't want the deer getting
goodness.
That. That's beautiful.
Aren't they so those are beautiful. My goodness gracious.
That's a
They're
good
so
looking
green
melon.
Green and beautiful. There's two of them in there, too. There's one back behind it.
Yes, indeed. Woo, that's nice. Happy 4th of July.
Now, are you one that when you eat your melon, do you bust it open and put a little salt on it, or do you go straight, or what's
no salt?
Yeah,
my no sugar either.
Loved
no salt.
The salt on it. He'd put a little that in the cantaloupe, but he you know, he'd pop them open and throw a little salt on there and eat it in the car while you were driving.
If it needs that, it's not for me. Yeah. It's for somebody else. My dad was a salter. There's people that salt food before they taste it. That sounds really funny, but there are people out there going, "Oh yeah, mm-hmm." Uncle Mamie does that, you know.
Yeah, in my younger days, I was a salt person, but I don't really crave it at all. It seems that there's so much in existing food probably that maybe
It's a habit that you may pick up because you get used to eating bland food and you don't like it. But at the same time, there are ways to address that. Yeah, 97 in the Delta. Thanks, y'all. Let's see. Tomato curl on the tips of the brand new tips up there. Thanks, Alan. Alan, there are a couple of things. There's always, with tomatoes, there's always a couple of things. And I can't see. It looks like they're curling under, so it might actually be a problem. If they're just curling, if the leaves curl up, you're really just looking at a temperature problem, and the plant's having a little bad reaction to either some cold water or some hot water or hot weather, different things, but they'll uncurl. These look like they're curled under, though, and I'm going to tell you to look very carefully for teeny tiny hornworms because they will do that. They'll get inside, and other insects will do this, too, but the hornworms are probably the most popular at this time. They'll get inside those leaves and start to curl and begin to eat them, and then that's when you can see the whole thing start to curl under. So look for the little tiny worms. They might be an inch long or they might be bigger by now. They're green. They're the same color as the stem. And that's the first place that I would begin to look, as long as your watering practices are all okay. The good news is that even if the top of the plant is badly curled out from insects or from whatever, you can oftentimes cut out that and continue to grow the other part of the plant. granted, we're going to move into the night, the hot nights, when they're not going to be able to set fruit. But the good news is if you keep the plants growing all summer, then they will be the first ones to set when the weather gets better. But I think that's what's going on. If you want to send me this photo or some other ones of it to mamaonair@yahoo.com, I can look at it literally with my nose in the screen and blow things up real big, which I can't do here. I can blow it up a little bit, but I can't blow it up enough to jump inside the picture. Oh, my goodness. Tommy. Oh, these are beautiful in Tumsuba. These are Asiatic lilies, darling. These are perennial. They're red and they're gorgeous. This is so, so pretty. Mine have just about finished in Jackson, and the bloom time is pretty long, but I think you're right at the peak of yours. They'll probably be in bloom for another 10 days. Just beautiful. Lovely, lovely flowers. And we can attest that they last pretty well in the vase, too.
Oh, yeah, they're hardy. And they've been, yours stuck around for well over that week.
Yeah, they smelled good.
Smelled
for a
great
while.
All the time.
until they didn't.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as hyacinths. If you ever bring hyacinths into your house, somebody gives you the container and the three or four of them are potted in there and they're all in flower. They're beautiful for a minute. If you might have them in the garden and you'll cut them and bring them inside, they're delightful for a little while. But about the third day, they start really getting kind of sad. You don't want to continue them. The smell will drive you out of the room. Oh my goodness, Trey, those are pretty. Those are his early girls, probably. That's a brand new one. Andrea didn't know she planted a pumpkin. She did. There was a squash in my compost last week from the ones that we grew last year, lands that we couldn't get anything to grow from, made a fruit in my compost bin. Now, that was not did not impress me, I have to say. But anyway, this is great. That's really a pretty pumpkin, too. Very, very pretty. Oh, my goodness. Wowie zowie. We're going to talk about more about sunflowers. Going to talk about, do all your elephant friends have first names? It turns out they probably do. You just don't know them. Talk about honeybees, all sorts of stuff. Take your phone calls. Take your texts. Talk about it. Talk about this and that, because this is the Garden Mama Show.
You and me, no one there to tell us what to do. To be under the sea in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
If someone you know is dealing with addiction, remember they're fighting an internal battle with themselves. They don't need to battle with you too. At Allies in Recovery, you can become an ally. By following a free online course, you'll learn a compassionate approach to reform relationships and start treatment. Lead them to recovery with a method that's scientifically proven to be more successful than others. Start for free at alliesinrecovery.net/sponsored.
I'm Rex Baker.
Send us pictures. I want to see the drone footage of the 5,000 sunflowers starting to bloom. Come on. You know, there's a Boy Scout somewhere near you that has a drone. Can come right over and do that. Ooh, what a great thing to imagine. That's delightful. Let's talk on the phone. How about that? Let's see what's going on with Andrew. Hey, what's going on, Andrew?
Oh, yes, ma'am. My daughter has just purchased a house in Edwards,
mm-hmm.
and it's like in a low area, like in the bottom. I was wondering what kind of grass we should plant as far as, you know, to soak up the water, and also for what would be easy as far as maintenance, you know, grass.
What's growing there now?
I think I don't know. It's like field grass. I don't know what mm-hmm. it is. It's all just
can it be yeah. mowed? Is there enough sunshine that it can be mowed and grows and all like that?
Oh yes, ma'am.
Okay, so it's just wet underneath.
Yeah, or just it's okay. Like a low area. And
all right,
wet.
I would take a little piece of what's growing there now and go and talk with someone at a garden center that knows about turf and explain the situation to them. My thought is, I have two different thoughts. The first is that if it stays wet more than 80% of the year, it, you know, even if it's just overly damp, the choices are going to be limited. But you can grow things like monkey grass that you mow over the top of and other ground covers that you can walk on. There are some that can be grown in that circumstance. But if it's real, real sunny, I have a feeling you can probably plug in just about any of the grasses, and they're going to last for a while. The Bermuda would not survive at all, I don't think, because it is such a full sun, hot weather. No, you know, can't be wet at all. But when we roll down the list and we get down to things like St. Augustine stays wet in places at times. So it's not like it can be underwater, but it can have a soil that is damper than the other. The other piece of that I would want you to consider is if it actually stays really wet all the time, I would put a plank walk through the area and then turn around and plant on the side of it things that actually thrive in that kind of wet soil.
Ooh, that would be pretty, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, be beautiful.
Okay.
So yes, you can sometimes you can take so advantage of that sort of thing, you know? I mean, because the water's going to be there. And sometimes you do need to take advantage of it that way. So I hope that his daughter will enjoy the house. I can imagine she's got lots of help, so that's good. Congratulations on your new home. I think that's terrific.
And Edwards is close to another awesome place called Flowers.
Anytime yes, it
you
is.
Have a town
it
called
is.
Flowers.
We're not going to complain about that.
No, you can't complain about that.
Oh, my goodness. Now we got more pumpkin stuff. Paula dreams she planted a pumpkin. You know, when they have that competition every year and it's the biggest pumpkin in the world, I know that there's some places that grow great big pumpkins, but at the same time, the guys, the women and men that compete in these things are absolutely fertilizer nuts. They essentially constant feed those things from day one to day 110 or however many it takes to grow the thing. And in ideal conditions, well, we do get some record setters, but my goodness, that's a tough one. I don't think I want to do a record setter. Oh, fun. Lady Cream Peas, yay. We've been talking about Lady Cream Peas all spring. These are beautiful pictures. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Florida speckled butter beans are coming in. For those of you who think you can't grow butter beans, yes, you can. They're not the easiest thing in the world, but there are a lot of people that grow them, and they are wonderful to do. And the cherry tomatoes, of course, coming in for about a month, but they have a concern about the apple tree. You know, when it's overloaded like this, and they're not ripe yet, the best thing to do from my point of view is going to be to prop up those branches and let as many ripen as possible. Now, if we get into the roll back about 3 months machine here, and it would have been a good idea to thin the fruit. But when you've got that many ripening all at once, you don't want them to break your limbs, and you certainly don't want to start thinning it at this point because that's going to do other damage.
So. I remember Mamaw's apple tree, and mm-hmm. she'd make her apple tarts from the apples that were on the tree. But
now I'm hungry.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to remember. They always seemed to be a little not ripe yet. You know, like they were getting close, a little more tart or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Once they fell off the tree, she used them got super ripe. She used them for something different. But I don't remember. Am I having a bad memory
same thing is true of some of our pears. We don't want to pick apples and pears before they are ripe, mm-hmm. but there are degrees of ripeness.
Yeah.
And the tart firm flesh is what some people prefer, and that's why they like varieties that naturally
down,
do that.
She'd cook it down into basically a syrup and then the little diced pieces, and then hand press her tarts.
Right, and that's the only – see, because if you take the more ripe apple, it'll be mushy before you ever get there.
That's kind of what I thought, but you confirmed
those are the ones
suspicion.
You put in the pastry bag and, you know, put in the powder shoe or something, because it's not going to work as a tart. But they do have our what we call cooking pears. Those pears also have that quality. There's a difference in the way they are when they first get ripe and the way they are when they fall off the tree because they've gone overripe, which is fun. I mean, it's a different thing. I think that's where applesauce comes from in the first place.
You see them birds out there eating them. Yeah, they hit that ground when they eat those apples.
There's a cardinal that has taken up residence in the top of my tallest blueberry. And apparently he is running the show because sometimes there are other ones up there. Sometimes they're not.
You send him to St. Louis. Get him up there if he's running the show, if he's a cardinal.
I tell you what, they've got a nice new logo. I was looking at their birds on the bat thing. Really attractive.
To me, that's one of the best logos
it's just great.
Baseball. Or any sport is the cardinal sitting on the bat. Mm-hmm. You can't beat that.
And they've dressed it up for this year, so it's kind of fun. But he's literally in charge. See, I let the two get tall and didn't prune them, and I should have. But after I didn't prune them, the birds took the berries in the top. So they get those. And they don't fight with me for the ones down low anymore. There used to be a real swarm of birds, and I do say that just like you would say swarm of bees, because they would get in the bushes and I wouldn't be able to get to my blueberries. But I have overwhelmed them by giving them their own. So I guess I won't prune those down this year. I'll prune the others a little bit. But the ones that I rooted a number of years ago are doing better than anything I've ever seen. I'm so impressed. Not with me, but with the plants.
Beautiful tomatoes. Goodness gracious.
I know.
And then we got a tray with the bacon. We're talking about apple tarts this morning. We got pictures of apple trees and peas everywhere.
Look,
you guys are
it's
awesome.
A beautiful day. Yeah. It is a beautiful day. If you are with us on Supertalk.tv, you are seeing me sitting really in heaven as far as I'm concerned. This is the flowers of Delta Snow Phlox, which are in full tilt bloom at my house. And the background is just magnificent to me today. I like it. I hope you do too.
Glad you're happy. It's a beautiful picture.
Thank
you.
You've
brought the heat. Like Paul Skeens, you've brought the heat last 3 weeks with you giving me great backdrop to work with. I mean, these are amazing. So thank you so much.
You
make my life a lot easier when I get my three or four picks from
the garden
mama.
I try not to bring any janky stuff.
No,
try not to do that.
You're getting really good.
There is a plant here that you will see that has strangely pink leaves. This is, in fact, the red arrowhead plant that I thought I had killed. It was down to like two sprouts inside this winter. It didn't like being indoors. Usually those plants do fine as a house plant. This one did not. But it has come back with some of the craziest colors, the shades of pink and red and cream and green and all this that are happening in it. I don't know what I did except to fertilize it and obviously put it into a sunny location outdoors where all the humidity in the world gets to it. But sometimes that's all that a house plant needs is a little bit of time to recover. And sometimes we're not as patient as we might should be. So there you have it. Interesting plants in the garden
patient?
Today.
What are you talking about? We're not patient.
Only you.
Only you. I think I test myself pretty well on patience. You know, I have to sit back at times and remember things are a process. Yeah, and I think gardening is
the
one
very
of those.
Fact that you're able to sit back and say that to yourself.
I have to make myself. You know, it's like, all right, life is a process. It's like growing a plant. You can't push uphill too fast. Sometimes you just got to enjoy the walk and the adventure. And
dear, my grandmother wanted to name me Patience, and fortunately, they did not, because it would have been a really poor representation of that name. I am not known for my patience. I'm more patient than I used to be, and that's probably good. Oh,
that's
no.
Growing, you know, that's growing.
Oh, no.
No, we're going to show that.
Oh, no. Are you looking at this?
You talking about kitty whiskers?
Oh, I'm looking at the fish.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one yet. I was getting to this one. Boom.
Okay, we won't play too much here, but we're having a good time. Look at the kitty. Y'all are so funny.
All right. So what did we? What are we missing here?
Trey's new one.
Okay.
Magnificent.
Oh my lordy, Trey! Come on.
Okay. The truck is warming up right now.
I'm on my way, man. Somebody come hop in here.
We really enjoy having the opportunity to see what y'all are up to. It's a blast, and it makes it a really fun visual thing because nobody else is doing this. Nobody else is going to show you all this stuff. Let's see now. Gary's in Oxford on the text line today. What can I do to the soil of my cherry tomatoes to make them sweet? I've heard that baking soda works, and thank you. I have heard that, and I don't have any research to cite for you that tells me that is actually going to work. But baking, it's not going to hurt anything. I would just encourage you that if the skins are also thick on those cherry tomatoes, that it's really a matter of a little bit more nitrogen and a lot more water to get to however sweet that particular variety can be. So what I'm going to suggest is that you get some kind of an organic nitrogen, not necessarily fish emulsion. Could be fish emulsion, could be cottonseed meal, could be worm compost, something that's an organic nitrogen source, and fertilize them with about a half the recommended dose of that, and also step up your watering. See if we can't get them to sweeten up at least as much as that particular variety can manage. You know, one of the things that happens is when tomato breeders are working, it's not me, I don't breed tomatoes, but when tomato breeders are working or any other sort of vegetable people are trying to breed, they're trying for a particular thing. And if what they're trying to do is get the cherry tomato to last in the box for 6 weeks from the time it's picked, sweetness may not have been the top criteria, or it may have been something that was present and then it was lost over time. So we can get things as ripe, as sweet as we can when they're ripe, but sometimes they're not going to be as sweet as we want. But if thicker skins are a problem, be sure you address that. Let's see. Yazoo County, good morning. Ask them to turn down the radio, and then they can talk to me.
Ma'am?
Hello, good morning.
Is this good morning. Yeah, we thought we would hear you on the radio, actually. We called you before. We actually going to tag team you with a couple of questions.
Sure.
First and foremost, we went to the mountains right outside of Pigeon Forge. That was a couple of weeks ago. And we kind of stole a couple of plants right by our cabin or whatever. Some wild blueberries and azaleas. The azaleas are doing fine. But we had a caretaker that looked after our plant, the wild blueberries, while we were gone. And they got a little bit dry. And we're trying to figure out if there's any way we could possibly save those.
Yes. How big are they?
We went to the beach. We got there.
How big are they? How big are the blueberry plants?
They're at maximum height, like 18 inches, maybe. They're not 2 feet tall, but they grow real close to the ground. They don't look like our blueberries.
Yeah, they're going to be closer to there's native blueberries that do that, and there's also native huckleberries that do that. Take off just a couple of inches and put the plants in the shade. Are they in pots still?
Yes, ma'am. We put them in pots, and then we got them on shade on the front lid.
Okay. Put them in the shade. Cut them back a couple of inches, just a little bit. Put them in the shade and give them some organic nitrogen. I'm going to talk organic nitrogen today. That'd be like cottonseed meal or some kind of worm composting thing. You know, you'll find it at the garden center or the co-op or wherever you shop. But what we're trying to do is just encourage them to gently put out some new leaves if they possibly can, and I bet they can. Just push them, but don't push too hard.
if it was your plant, which one would you put on there? We're actually headed to the feed store and garden center at this time. Which one would you put on there? Would you prefer?
You know what? It depends on what's on their shelf, but I like cottonseed meal a lot, and I'm really very, very devoted to the. If you happen to run into the Dr. Earth products, because they just have real clean bill of health in their process and stuff, there are some that are just nitrogen. But in just an average row, you're going to find cottonseed meal. That's fine. People use fish emulsion. I don't because I don't like the smell of it. But that's another one that's available everywhere and works real well.
Okay, well, we fish a lot. So
all right.
We're worried about that.
Thank you.
Miss Georgia has my
hold on. You need to hold on. You need to hold on for me because we have to take a quick break. But we will be right back with Georgia and Michael in Yazoo County. Hang on. We'll be back.
Music in the air. Turn your radio on. Heaven's glory share. Turn the lights down low. Turn the lights down low and listen to the Master's radio. Get in touch with God. Get in touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
You know that nowadays more people are cutting the cord, ditching traditional cable and satellite television, and instead just streaming everything. With SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's over-the-top advertising, you can get your business seen on streaming TV. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted team can show you how your ad dollars can go further to reach a more targeted audience. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
I don't know how to tell you this, but it's National Bug Busting Day. I'm not sure what that means.
Hey, I've been busting them.
There are slightly fewer mosquitoes at my house than there were present previously, but not that many are gone.
The flies have been rough. I don't know if anybody else is dealing with the plague of the flies.
The flies have been tough. We had a round with that.
Off and pop. I mean,
I sound like my grandmother. What to do with? You got to wrap your garbage. Come on, y'all. Stop all this. I mean, it sounds just like her. And here I am. You know. So, anyway, let's go back and talk to Georgia. Can we do that? Hey, Georgia.
Hi.
That sounds like y'all got some
mama.
Just great. Thank you. It sounds like y'all got some cool plants. We're going to make sure that they survive.
All right. Right. Yeah. Well, since Mike, I've already asked about the blueberries. We did get some wild. Well, let me start with this. I do have a picture. This app, you know, like the app, the plant founder, it mm-hmm. was Picture This, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you a question, is that reliable, you know, like because it tells me a host of things when I do take a picture of the plant, if it's sick, and what can I do to take care of it? And the second question is, I do have a cucumber garden. Now, every year I do a cucumber garden, I do canning, and my leaves turn yellow. It's probably a general question, but what can I do? I know it's just a normal process, them kind of getting yellow and kind of going out. Just do I do a clipping at the bottom to get the yellow leaves out?
Are they are the yellow ones at the bottom? Are the yellow leaves at the bottom?
The yellow ones. They're at the bottom.
Yeah, this is another case where
you
can use some of the organic nitrogen that you're going to put on the blueberries. You can also put on the cucumbers. Not too much, but it'll help them keep their green color, and that, of course, helps them continue to maintain their cucumbers. So it's a good idea to do that.
Okay, and also, too, if the cucumber stays on there, sometimes I kind of tend, you know, they be hiding sometimes.
Yeah.
And if it's a yellow cucumber, with my canning process, is that good? You know, they still taste good. But can I can
it usually
cucumber?
Just means that it's overripe. And so as long as it'll hold up to the texture of the canning process, the seeds may be a problem and they may not. But what you're looking for is the texture of the product. And sometimes overripe ones can get there, and sometimes they're a little mushy. There's a technical term, mushy.
Right. Mushy, right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Now, the app, though, Picture This.
You know what? I don't promote apps anymore. I worked on an app for about 4 years, and honestly, have any great, I don't have enough faith in any one of them, even the one that I worked on, to tell you to sign up for it. And I was glad to provide the information.
Right.
And it isn't the information. It's about the app itself. It's about how it works and how you're using it and how good their visualizations are and all that sort of stuff. And it's not, it's things that are way out of control of the people like me who just wrote the content.
Well, and Georgia,
yeah,
you know, take some, you and Michael, take some pics of that beautiful area you live in and take some pics of the blueberry bushes and things that you brought. And I know you live in the Yazoo County area where there's hills and flat land, and I was laughing with Michael. Shoot us some pictures. We'd love to see that
area.
I mean, it's
love
amazing
it.
Over there. So, and thanks.
We'll put it behind me.
We'll put it
behind
the
garden. I'll look great. Thanks for calling today. I appreciate it. Talk to y'all soon. Mary's in Mooreville. Good morning. What's going on, Mary?
Good morning. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I have a problem. I have two hydrangeas, and I've had them for about 4 or 5 years, but they will not bloom. And I'm kind of like, do I need to fertilize them? Are they in the wrong place?
Well, tell me
where. I can't figure it out.
Tell me a little bit. Do they get like morning sun? Do they get some sun?
Yes.
Okay.
They get morning sun, and then because our house faces the east, they get all the morning sun. Then in the afternoon, you know, everything is on the backside.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect, though. Morning sun's ideal for hydrangeas. Do you fertilize them at all?
I do. I did not fertilize them this year because they didn't do anything last year. And
okay.
I thought, maybe it's the fertilizer or something.
Well, and the best thing to use for them is going to be a granular product that says flowering shrub food. And there's any number of brands of it, but it's going to be a complete fertilizer that will give them what they need. You can feed them now.
Okay.
And then they will be able to grow through the summer and put on some flower buds. Don't prune them this summer and don't prune them next winter. But do fertilize them this summer.
Is it okay because they're... Okay, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Because I thought maybe do they not bloom on like the old branches or the old?
It depends on what kind they are. If they are the traditional round-headed flowers, you know, that look like a globe that are blue or pink, if they're those kind, most of them bloom next year on the wood that they grow this year. But we also have re-blooming hydrangeas now, so they bloom on both old wood and new wood. However, the ones that are different, the ones that are like Limelight, is the one that blooms in the summer, and it has to be pruned in the wintertime, if at all. And so they're very different because of the timing of their production of wood and flowers. So that's why I say don't prune this year. Don't prune either one of these this year, but do fertilize them with some flowering shrub food. And if we have a drought, be sure you water them weekly, deeply, just slowly, so that they can continue to put their flower buds on. And hopefully next year they'll solve your problem.
Okay, because they're like 3 feet wide.
That's perfect.
They're so big.
That's a beautiful size for a hydrangea.
I know. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. I appreciate that so
much. Sure, thank you, ma'am. I'll look forward to pictures next year. Thank you so much. All right, now let's see where we are. Can I talk to, do we have time? Can I do this? All right, let me talk to Jim in Calhoun County. Good morning. Hey, Jim, congratulations.
Oh, we're in Calhoun City just outside.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, just outside of
Lawrence.
Garden Mama, I tell anybody there just now that I had my shoulder replaced Thursday. I'm not in no shape to do nothing in the garden. I want to build me some raised beds.
Well, let me tell you something.
Hold on.
I want to tell you congratulations on getting through shoulder surgery, because whatever else you're doing, that's the biggest part. You know, you're here today.
I had shoulder surgery done back in March, and then it come loose, and I had to go back there and do it again.
Mm.
But, then they work on the gallbladder, then they work on the left knee, so I'm doing good.
My goodness.
But just raised bed, though. I got a lot of oak trees on my property. I do not want to cut them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to cut them. Make great shade, and the ground out here is poor. You can't raise timber out here. But I want to get this set up for this raised bed and for next year.
Mm-hmm.
How do I start it, and what do I do? And the other thing about this garlic, I listened to you a couple of weeks ago. You said now's the time to get it. Mine had never blossomed out.
Mm-hmm.
But And it just fell back.
Well,
and I went out there.
In that case, you dig one up and see what's in there. Sometimes you just dig it up and see if it's ready, you know, because they don't all, they're supposed to bloom, but sometimes one planting doesn't do at the same point that the other does, but you might get plenty of garlic. Now, let me tell you right quick about raised beds. The first thing about raised beds is find the sunshine on your property, because that's where you want to put the raised beds. The second thing is get a can of spray paint, because you can't do a whole lot more than that right now, and draw those beds out on the soil, on the grass surface, you know, clean that off so that you know where you're going to put them. And then at that point, you'll be ready to start looking for what you're going to add to the soil and what you're going to build the sides out of. But right now, all you're doing is looking for the sunniest part and shaping the beds the way you know, putting out your markers so you know where you want to put them and how big they're going to be. And meanwhile, take your medicine, go to the doctor, and don't pull that shoulder out again now. We need you to be here with us. Take care of yourself, Jim. Thank you. All right, now, we got another hour of the Garden Mama Show coming up. I hope that you will be right here with us, because there's a lot to talk about. And quite frankly, an awful lot of really cool things rolling in today. It's Nature Photography Day, and y'all are showing off. Stick around.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
I feel more beauty.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Yes, indeed. Sitting this morning amidst my very, very favorite, gotta make her the queen of my garden this week, the Delta Snow Phlox. I hope that you're able to take a look at supertalk.tv, because this is really fun, and this is a flower that you don't see too many places. It's not popular. You know, I'm kind of known for my not so popular plant choices, but it is lovely and it is slightly fragrant. And unless you get my newsletter or are following me on social media somewhere, you're probably not going to see this, because this is the best place to see it. It's wrapped around my head. That's because the producer here is really smart. Good morning, Lance.
Well, hey, and
beautiful photographs coming in today from everybody.
Doing such a great job today on National Photography Day.
Absolutely.
We got some photogs out there, and apparently some master gardeners too.
Brilliant, brilliant poblano peppers.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Tracy in Starkville.
I'm ready.
I'm ready to make the stuffing as we speak for Rihanna. That's really beautiful. Wonderful one. The Cheryl says her nasturtiums don't look too great. Yeah, you know, I'm having that too. She's in Vestavia. And I have heat is tough. I'll tell you, the best nasturtiums I've ever grown, I grew in Northern California, where the temperature doesn't change much for 8 or 10 months at a time. It's very, very, very moderate it's chillier than it is, say, in Southern California, but it's not, it never gets really hot or really cold. And the nasturtiums like that. So what I have done is to move the container that they're in to a slightly less sunny location, trimmed it back a little bit and fertilized it. This was maybe a week or so ago. And I do have new flowers again on it. But this is the point in the year when I'm going to prefer to let them go ahead and go to slightly to seed, because I like to eat the seeds, the seed pods rather, not the seeds. The seed pods themselves are so delightful. They're you know, that's what we call capers. Capers are actually another thing. But many times when you are served capers, you will see it's actually nasturtium seed pods. Nice ones. Nice, really nice. Oh, thank you, Rhett. You're going to get some flowers. Don't worry. Your fingers are crossed. That's smart. Marcella, this is really lovely. She planted a Grancy Graybeard tree, and something's starting eating the leaves, but she can't find out what it is. And she has sprayed with neem, but they're still eating. That tells you that it's more than likely something with larger mouth parts. So I'm going to switch you over to spinosad, because it takes care of both the smaller mouth part insects, but it also has the larger mouth part insects. It will not do anything about slugs or snails. So if you have those in your garden and you feel like that's what's climbing up in your tree and eating the leaves, it's rare for that to happen, but it does. So if you find that that's the problem, that's a different issue and you'd have to treat it separately. But for chewing insects, where spinosad is a really, really good choice. If you don't use natural derived products exclusively, or if you have trouble finding them, there are plenty of vegetable garden dusts or flower garden dusts that will have what you need in it to control the chewing insect. Okay. Dave's in Ripley. Let's go to the phones. Talk to you. Oh dear, it's a mole problem. Good morning. Good morning.
Moly.
Oh.
My wife's got some Lenten roses. I don't know if you've ever had any of those.
Love them. I have a planting of six that's now two. That's how good I am with them, but I love the flowers.
My wife got a couple about 30 years ago somewhere, and they've been living forever, and we decided to put some at the end of the patio because we got a lot of shade here. And then a fella brought me some hostas, so I split them up. We had four hostas and two Lenten roses. And then next thing you know, these moles started coming in here out of nowhere. And then we got dogs, too, and I didn't realize this, but at least two of them are moles. Well, they've been digging up around them Lenten roses, and we finally caught this great big one. Me and one of the dogs sort of together, and my wife included. She reached down there and grabbed it when I was holding it with a shovel. So we thought we got them all. Well,
I wish there was video of this.
That's fair. I've already dug up one of the roses and one of the just tearing the plants up. They're just digging all under them.
Yeah. You know?
So I had two of them in a big old container I dug up, and now they're working on the other two or three. And
she initially didn't want
to put any poison in there on account of the dog.
Right. It is a problem. It's a problem. But there's another solution. When you have now for those of you who are going, no, it's voles that eat the roots on hostas, yes, they will, but so will moles. If they burrow underneath, they can get to anything they want to eat. Usually we think of the littler critters running under the mulch and eating the roots that way. But when they're actually in the ground digging tunnels, it is, in fact, moles. So I wanted to get that because somebody will send me a text later and say, you know, rah, rah, rah. But I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about here in this case. Here's what the problem is. There are white grubs in your soil. And the moles are looking. That's what they live on. That's what they eat. So they really don't care about the roots of your plants. They're just digging them up because they happen to be there in the way on their search for their food. What we will see sometimes is there be a sidewalk, and the space right next to it in the grass will just never be as green as the rest. That's where the white grubs congregate because it's warm there. It stays warm all year long up against that sidewalk. So if you see that, you know that's the problem. But you have to treat the whole yard. And if you treat the whole yard for the white grubs, you can get the products. It's a granular thing. You're going to put it out with a spreader. The dogs are not attracted to it, and the moles will move. The moles will go to your neighbors.
Would it do any good just to put them around the plants? Because I've got about a 3 acre.
No, you got to build a barrier. I would say go at least 20 feet out from your plants. Because you got to get the air. You got to move them. You got to. You have to move them from where they are now to where you'd rather they were, like, you know, towards the woods or towards somewhere. I'm sorry.
Is this some kind of granular stuff?
Yeah, it's granular.
You have to water.
No, you won't have to water it in. It's just a granular. It's going to be a white grub control product. It'll be an insecticide in a granular form. Probably will also kill fleas, but won't hurt the dog. But the dog won't be attracted to it because it's not anything big enough for them to even see. It just falls into the lawn and around the plants.
So should I put them around the plants also? Or?
You will. You'll be treating the soil everywhere. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I hope it works. I'm headed to the co-op for the close.
Thank you. Is that your particular dog that we've been talking about?
I've got lots of dogs. I got a daughter vet there and owns her practice up here, and we capture a lot of strays.
Maybe it's dog dad day at your house every day.
But there's only two of them that do that digging. There's several more, but they don't care.
Yeah, well, they have different. They definitely have different personalities. That's for sure. Thanks for letting us know, Dave. I hope it works. Let me know how it turns out. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Good to hear from you today. Oh, Pam's garden. That's beautiful. I'll tell you another thing that you're seeing in the rotation today at supertalk.tv. It's the first picture I have taken since I pruned this winter of Paul the poinsettia. And yes, he's beautiful again and going into his fifth year. He's big as he can be and just lovely. I don't have to repot him this year because I did that last year, I'm glad to say. Sardis is showing off today some banana plants, some really good look. That's a beautiful vegetable garden, Pam. Thank you for showing us. Lovely, lovely. Blueberries are happening. That's wonderful. Really, really pretty. Y'all are good. See, it's Nature Photography Day every day around here. I appreciate that. I am so fascinated by the Garden Mama group on Facebook because y'all ask some interesting questions. But the rule is you got to put a picture up. So if they don't, then I answer the question here, which we all hope means that they get their question answered. But it's absolutely true that it's one of those funny things. I love this question because it brings to you something that you have to do, and you have to do it carefully. Do you know what a rabbit's foot fern looks like? It's a lovely fern, but it sends out runners that have furry roof tops on them. They're root tops. They go in and they function. Okay, this is not just a pretty thing like an oddball flower that no pollinator is interested in. This is an absolutely beautiful structure, but it is furry and it sort of resembles a rabbit's foot if you squint. So that's what they call this fern. And this particular person has had one has one now that is 12 years old and wants to divide it up. Well, first of all, you take a deep breath and say a couple of prayers if you're of a mind to do that. And then you're going to cut it with a serrated knife. That's why they make trowels that have serrated edges on them, because this is just that sort of project. I will suggest that if you want to keep it in, if it's in a 10-inch container, for example, you probably don't want to go any more than 3 chunks of it. And each of those can go back into another 10-inch container, because this is a plant that will stay in its pot for a dozen years, as you have seen, and probably even longer. But you don't have to put it in that large of a container. For instance, if you're going to give it to somebody, you might want to go down to a smaller pot that just holds it and about, say an inch all the way around this new clump of some good potting mix that you're going to mix up for this particular project. The other piece of the puzzle to understand is that this thing is going to look terrible for about 2 weeks. And you don't want to overwater it while it's recovering from this transplant mess that you've done to it. So keep them in the shade. They do need a little bit of light, but not much at this stage. And you want to fertilize lightly, but you do want to fertilize them so that they can begin to put on some good roots. Use a root stimulator, use a compost tea, whatever you like for that purpose, and give them a little time to recover. But yes, you can do it. You've got to do it all in one motion. There's none of this pulling the roots apart kind of stuff. Cut those things, and you will find that you will have much better success with that. Much better success. I did not know. Good grief. There's so many things I don't know. I have always presumed, because I Rhett, you're going to knock me off my chair. I'll just tell you that. We're not going to show all of this stuff, but it's funny. Very well done. Very well done. Anyway, back to the subject at hand. There's a classic Far Side cartoon, which is the names we give the dogs and the names they give themselves. If you don't know it, look it up. It's hilarious. Because, you know, we may call her Daisy, but she actually calls herself Sheba, Queen of the Night Hunters or something. You know, his names are better than mine. But it has always made me wonder, if we presume that animals live together and we presume that we don't necessarily understand everything that they're doing or saying anyway, do they talk? Do they call out names? We understand there's certain sounds that attract and some that repel, and we get both of those things going. But Colorado State University has done a study of wild African elephants, and they have names for each other. Now, we didn't give them these names. This is not, you know, Bessie and Trudy or any of that kind of stuff. I always thought that was funny that the elephants at the circus had names like my aunts. But anyway, they confirmed using some of that machine learning, using some AI to research all of this noise and data and separate it apart. They were able to find that they do indeed contain name components in before the next thing is said. They call out the name and then they call out whatever it is they're going to talk about. I don't have a list of them. I don't have any jokes to make about that particular thing. But I really, really, I love that we now have a mammal. Because dolphins, okay, yeah, we did them. And parrots, yeah. But we've never had anything as substantial as elephants basically having a Rolodex, knowing each other's names and getting in touch that way. I'm fascinated by it. There is, there's always the idea of arbitrary communication, you know, things that are, the things that do make sense and make a noise, but are in fact not specific, it doesn't imitate the idea, it just makes another sound that refers to it. Really is a way of expanding. We no longer have to just say buzz, we can say these, you know. We have different words that work in there. Really fun stuff. It's a next level communication skill and a next level mental skill. And the elephants have it. I like it. Oh, that's really cool. Now, when we were talking about raised beds that Jim wants to make, we didn't get to the product parts. But here is a really good picture. Dave from Ripley's got those really cool, they're basically pipes. They're not made out of pipes, but they're some form of metal is my point, and they look like the roof on a house that's an old tin roof. I don't think they're actually tin, but that's what they look like. And they're really, really beautiful. Plus, they stay clean. They hold a nice level of warmth around your roots. And they also don't, so it's not like putting them into a black container where they're going to heat up overnight. They reflect a fair amount in the summertime. So it's a really good system. He's trying his luck with purple hull peas. That's great. I'm willing to go for the turtle. Oh, we have a turtle, by the way, at my house. We have a rescue from the middle of the street.
What's his name or her name?
I haven't heard yet. They haven't called out to me.
They haven't named it yet. They haven't got too attached quite
they,
yet.
They haven't called out their names yet, but I'm sure that I will hear about it now that I've said this on the air. It's one of those funny things. There's a canal by my house, and there are turtles in my neighborhood. We see them from time to time, but just not usually in the middle of the street. So, since it's hard to know whether the turtle was coming or going, it was facing south, but, you know, that doesn't mean anything. So, I don't know. Probably means something to the turtle, just not to me. We'll see what happens next. We will see what happens next. But that's another case where, yes, everything gets a name. And since we had just talked about the folly of the folly of trying to put bling on the turtles, we don't do that.
No bedazzling.
No, none of that. So we've already talked about that. So there will be none of that. No, actually, I don't mean culverts, because culvert gardens look different. But thank you. That is another good choice. There's some excellent raised beds to be made from culvert. That's brilliant. There's also plenty of choices in every kind of, there's wood and there's metal and there's stone and, you know, I don't even know. Concrete blocks occasionally work well, too. Plus, you can plant in the top of them if you orient them the right way. Y'all know who this is? Y'all gonna hear some fun music here for just a moment. We'll be right back.
Harvested in June and July, Mississippi-grown sweet corn arrives just in time for your cookout or outdoor get-together. But you better be quick. Once Mississippi-grown sweet corn appears on your local farmers market shelves, it disappears just as fast. There are so many ways to cook and eat Mississippi-grown sweet corn, but of course our favorite is corn on the cob.
Sweet corn, just one of the many foods the Mississippi farmer grows for you. The farm families of Mississippi.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember,
so how do you know if you...
I was only 17 back then, but it seems like I knew more than I do now. I can't say he didn't tell me this city life's a hard road to hoe. It's funny how a dream can turn around where corn don't grow.
You have just sent somebody into a time warp today. That's a good one. A lot of people have never actually heard Waylon Jennings sing. You know, he tends to be the loud one at the back of the show when they're Jerry Jeff Walker and Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and all that at the parties and stuff. But the man could sing.
Oh, I love that song. And then I don't think Hank would have done it this way. One of my favorites.
That's a brilliant song.
Those two songs right there.
Beautiful poetry. Really, really, really important.
I mean, you know, he's a mad guitarist, too. Dude could play.
Well, that's why he stood in the back.
Yeah. Such a cool guy.
Got to do all of that. Hey, listen now. A tip for y'all. These are some great texts. Y'all are just sending us wonderful things. The it's a very, very good dog, by the way, our molar. And no, it doesn't have an A. It's an M-O-L-E-R. Dave, that's wonderful. Trey would like us to begin naming the turtle. I don't know if I can do that. I'm going to probably have to make up something sillier, but I appreciate.
I love the one. I think it's on Family Guy or American Dad, it's a turtle, and they do like a little side thing, and they make it after the Hurt Locker, the movie, but they call it the Turt Locker. It's hilarious. It's actually pretty dang funny.
Don't tell anybody at my house that, because I hope they're not listening, and they'll probably
be doing this. Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, Debbie from Ocean Springs might take you up on it, because she sent us a picture of the turtle in her garage from this week.
Yeah, I'm about to have that up, too. Yeah.
Good looking, too.
That's nice. That's a big one.
Beautiful, beautiful. Really, really cool. Very, very lovely. Georgia says... This is so great. This is just classic stuff here. I just started gardening 2 years ago. I've noticed my nails are splitting right down the middle. Do you know what could cause this? That would be gardening.
Yeah, I was gonna say gardening, right? Yeah, that'll do it.
It doesn't matter what you're using the nail surface more often. It's touching stuff that it doesn't usually touch. Primarily water, a lot of water probably. But on the other hand, if you are wearing gloves and the gloves don't agree with you, they can cause your nails to split too because they'll stay too damp. I used to wear gloves all the time, and now I've discovered that I'm more allergic to the gloves, the ones that I had at my house, than most other things that don't bother me as much. But it does mess up your nails, that's for sure. That's one of those things that it's a constant battle with gardeners. Do we wear gloves to protect our hands and keep from getting broken nails and keep from getting, frankly, pathogens into our fingers that we don't necessarily want to carry around with us? Or do we want to be able to touch the plants better? So we're always looking for more supple gloves to wear, and they're never as good as our fingernails. But yes, there's a lot to be said for continually hydrating the fingernails and the fingers and the hands themselves, because gardening will take it out of you. Somebody asked me the other day if I had dyed my hair. I said, not in about 25 years. And she said, I got over that. But she said, your hair is blonde in the picture that I saw you in the other day. And I said, that's the light and the fact that I've been out in the sun too much, and I should probably wear a hat because it does dry your hair out, too. The sun will do that, and it'll do it out to all of you. But since I hadn't worried about it, I'm not going to worry about it now. Oh, my goodness. I did not know. We talked about time travel a couple of times today. I mentioned it, and it probably is something that you think about when you try to think, what happened to that plant? If I could go back 6 months, what could I do for it? Could I fix it? Is there something I could do? Well, humans are not the only critters that have good memories, but very few of them actually are able to do that, kind of roll it back like we do. That's our capacity. That's one of our things that makes us responsible for the rest of the earth, I believe, is our ability to understand that what happened before doesn't have to happen again. We can go back and do something differently the next time or understand something from the previous experience. Turns out Eurasian jays, not the blue jays in my backyard, but Eurasian jays can remember incidental details of past events. They've measured this. I love this. Coming out for us in PLOS, one of my favorite journals, as y'all know. But this was at University of Cambridge, UK, and colleagues from around hither and thither. This whole business of episodic memory is the actual, it's not really time travel. It's episodic memory, of course. But it's looking back and re-seeing and reimagining things that wasn't life-changing at the time, just things that happened. I've said to y'all before that when certain songs play, I can see myself exactly in that setting where I first heard that song or where I heard it a lot. It's not unusual. We humans have that kind of episodic memory. But so do the Eurasian jays. What they tried to do was to teach them to go to the right cup by remembering its position in line, the one that was going to have the food in it, going to have the treat in it. And then at that time, they gave another trick. They watched the food going underneath the cups, and it looked like they were all visual. But actually, when they were taken away for 10 minutes, most of them came back to the one where they knew it was going to be, the one that had not been altered. So that's kind of what we're about. That's what we humans do. And I think we're pretty smart. Eurasian jays, though, are probably better at it than we are, because that's sort of the whole business of the chickadees and burying the seeds in 1,000 places and being able to go back and find them again is part of survival and a very important part. Let's see. Where are we? Greg in North. Hey, Greg. What's going on?
Hey, Garden Mama, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I called and talked to you about 3-4 months ago about my azalea bush out here at my grandparents'. It's a thing, it's probably 20 by 25. This thing is huge, and the frost has got it these late frosts has got it the last couple of years. But anyway, we had talked about it's had some dark spots in the bush,
mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, I don't want to lose my hope. Is there something I could do, maybe start fertilizing it now? And
mm-hmm.
I want to give it a fighting chance at least.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. I would prune out anything that is clearly and completely dead at this point, because what
okay.
you want is for that to put out some new leaves. So if those areas are
yes, ma'am.
That were brown have now gone kind of black, you can get in there and do a little bit of trimming. I don't want to prune the whole thing, though, because as you say, it's old and kind of precious anyway. But yes, a fertilizer,
yes.
particularly if you will go and get yourself a bag of fertilizer intended for azaleas and camellias, it will not only fertilize the plant, but it will also help the soil around it. And then we're going to further help the soil around it with go get a bag of compost manure and spread that about half an inch to around the whole base of the thing, all the way out to the drip line of the farthest part of that shrub, okay? I hate to call it a shrub. It sounds like a building. But, you know, it's, technically it's a shrub. So, and take out the dead parts, give it a compost manure, and then give it some fertilizer made for azaleas, camellias, hollies. Then the most important part, don't forget to water it if the summer is dry. Water it weekly, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Right.
Thank you so much.
So you're going to be busy, but I think it might pay off. Let's see if it can. Appreciate you, Greg.
Yeah, sure. I'll keep you informed.
Thank you very much. Talk to you again soon. You know, that's the thing. We can't always save a plant, but we know what we can do to see if it has a shot. And I have actually seen older plants like that that have been damaged. After a good bit of effort, they'll put on some growth in the center of the plant. Well, that's great. Then, you know, the next year you come around and take the rest of it off, but you still got the plant and it's growing and it's happy. It'll be a few years before it's 20 feet tall again, but you might not want it to be that big. So it's probably just as well that it continues on its own size, a size that you can maintain it at. I know that that's one of the problems with my blueberries is that because I haven't pruned, the birds are accustomed to the ones in the top. And, yeah, they'll continue to get those. Somebody was asking me, and I have a good publication from the Mississippi Cooperative Extension. They have a really good growing panel of growing pamphlet, rather, of varieties that are recommended, ones that they have tested and ones that have worked well for them in different things. Somebody was asking me about mustard greens. Now, not that you're going to plant mustard greens today, you're not, but they were asking about ordering seeds, and I appreciated this because it reminded me to tell you your favorite seed company, whoever they are, probably has seeds on sale right now. They're at the end of a season, and they want to make sure that they've got fresh seed next year, so they will have seed that will go. Maybe they'll give you free shipping. Maybe they'll give you a half off on the packages. Maybe they've got some that are really cheap, and you'll add those to your list of things that you want to grow this year or next. You can keep those seeds, for example, if you buy zinnia seeds now. Take care of them. They'll be fine next year. You're not going to keep them for a decade. They'll be okay. But it's also true that when we talk about those things, we always say, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to plant? What's coming next? Most of the things that we plant, like mustard greens, we're going to plant in the soil itself. Or it can be in a container, or it can be even in your garden bed, or it can be in its own row in the vegetable garden. But what this person was asking me was if I knew anything about Southern Giant curled mustard greens. And I know I have. I know I have eaten them. One of the ones that won an AAS award, the All America Selections. So that tells you that it did well for them. And that was in 1935. So people have been growing that one for a minute. More often you will find Florida broadleaf because that's the one that is most commonly grown here. I have to say though, neither one of those is my favorite. I like the variety called tender green. And it's sometimes sold as mustard spinach. It doesn't taste like spinach at all. It's a mustard. But it has a flatter leaf like that, so that's probably why they name it that. I like it. It's an heirloom. It is. The leaves are a little bit strappier. They're not, you know how mustard leaves will be narrow at the bottom and get real fat at the top? These are not, the difference is not that great. It will be a slightly strappier looking leaf, not a whole lot strappier. But I just like it. I think it has a real fresh taste and something that's delicious. But a couple of more that the folks recommend if you're shopping for seeds, and you see Garnet Giant mustard, that's another popular one, and of course Savannah, which is the one that you see often because it only takes 35 days to go from seed to plant, so that's a lot of people will use that. Oh, that's really nice. I like that plant. Andrea says her night blooming cereus has never bloomed. Does it need a lot of sun? Doesn't need a lot of sun. It needs some sun, and morning sun is plenty. I think this one, though, looks as if it needs a little water and fertilizer. So do both of those things and put it in a little bit more sun, and I think you'll see some new growth. It is time for them to be putting out either some flat panel growth that's going to be beautiful new leaves, or they may even be sending out some of the rounded stems that then open up into their larger leaves. Both of those things are happening now. And this one just looks like it's not quite holding itself up as well as it could. So I think a little bit of sun, a little bit of more water, and a little bit of fertilizer will solve that problem. I do like Night Bloom and Sirius. Obviously, they're all over the place. Well, yeah, that worked. Goodness gracious. Oh, Tracy, that's lovely. Now, Tracy's growing, in addition to those beautiful poblano peppers, Tracy's growing one of my very favorites in the Love Lies Bleeding family, Celosia family. That's really pretty. That's lovely. Really, really nice. Good-looking container of plants. I do appreciate that we're doing more and more research now with honeybees out in the world. I've talked with someone about 6 months ago, I guess, who said that they were putting in more beehives, but they're in an urban area, and they were wondering about if the bees feed on plants that have been treated with something, what effect does that have? Well, here's the deal. We hope that they have not been treated with systemic insecticides, because those can be dangerous for any kind of insect that bites into it, the one you're trying to control, or the ones you're not. So that is a consideration. But for the most part, if your property itself has enough materials for those bees, they're not going to forage much farther than a couple of yards away, in my experience, from what I understand from watching other people. There are certainly foraging bees that go much farther away, but for the most part, if you set it up and everything's going well, they will take care. We'll have to ask Trey to weigh in on that. But they will, for the most part, stay home, and that gives you the opportunity to not worry about what they're eating because you've provided it for them. So there's that one. Yes, for the person who just texted me, that was Little Feet, and this is Little Feet. I hear you work from midnight till noon. Gonna mop it from the wood, but those eyes don't sound so good. What are you doing in here, Bamboo? Say it ain't true, it ain't true.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Are customers able to find you online? With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
When it comes to returning money to Mississippians, Treasurer David McRae is on a roll. He's already returned almost $100 million in unclaimed money to Mississippians through the Treasury's Unclaimed Money Program. Now, he's refocused the state's college savings initiatives, Max and Impact, to emphasize technical, trade, and teacher-focused career jobs and skills Mississippi needs. Don't let another day go by without getting a jump start on a career or getting back the money that's yours. Visit Treasurer David McRae at treasury.org.
I went to the doctor.
You know, that doctor. Oh, that doctor told you. Peter Tosh. Yes, we are having a fun morning.
I had to put dog. Dog. Yeah. That is a hunting mole dog.
Seriously.
So we have action photos. That's starting out. And this is
this is going to get you. If you're watching, hold on, hold on.
I got it, Daddy. I got it. And then he goes, here, this is where I'm going to put it
for
you, Daddy.
Yeah, this is right
for you. What a dog. I love this.
I'm telling you, that's quite a dog.
Shaggy Dog BA right there. He dug it out, found it,
I'm really lucky that dog isn't available because I would probably be driving there today. That's a beauty. That's
a dog.
That's
a
honey bunny. Love that.
Everybody needs a mole finder in their
garden. Yes, and everybody needs a dog that devoted.
That's right.
So
with that smile like that.
Yeah, I'm all about it. That's precious. That's really wonderful. Y'all are just, I don't care who else has gardens. Y'all have the best gardens. Y'all have the best questions. Y'all have the best answers. Y'all have the best plants. I've never seen anybody grow both kinds of celosia in the same container, and I think everybody should now. This is what Tracy in Starkville is doing. She's got the one that's called coxcomb. You know, it looks kind of like your brain, really curled up flower. But she's also got the ones with the really pretty pink tips and the really feathery plumes, and that's delightful. Good combination. Really wonderful bunch of plants. Y'all are so smart.
It looks like candy.
Doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah, it doesn't look like, it looks like somebody painted it that couldn't be real. It's got sculpted or somehow or another. Well, speaking of how did this, is this real? Could it happen? I know that we have heard a lot of stuff over time about marine cyanobacteria. Now, the reason we hear all of that is, of course, because as we get deeper into the whole situation, we understand that those are creatures, those are structures that are extremely important. They're organisms, they're alive, but they do not operate as individuals. You're not going to meet one cyanobacteria coming down the street, okay? You're even under the microscope. There's a bunch of them. And understanding how this works, we often talk about the classic definition of osmosis is where the membrane is thinned and the material is able to go from one to the other. That is the same thing that happens, though, when the cell gets ready to divide. It thins, and then eventually it's able to separate. Okay, that's how nature works. That's one of the most beautiful, joyful things that goes on. It turns out that the cyanobacterias interact through their nanotubes. And, of course, since we couldn't see them before, we didn't know this was the way it worked, because it's also part of the membrane. It's that space, that thing that comes between that allows access. And really, that science advances is where you'll find more about this if it's a topic that particularly is interested for you. Years ago, we had discovered these, but nobody really understood that they're responsible for producing more than half of the oxygen on Earth. Obviously, we should have been worried about these a lot longer ago, but we're paying more attention now. And the really odd little structures that we never saw before but can see now that are the most relevant in terms of that transfer of material, of knowledge, if you want to think of it that way, between to get a bridge that can go between the two things. That's really what we're all looking for all the time, isn't it? We're trying to find another way to get from here to there in our heads, between our heads and somebody else's heads, between one country and another. And every level is all about communication. And I think that understanding things at the most basic level certainly can't hurt. I think it might help. I appreciate that very, very much. Speaking of reading stuff that we didn't understand before, We get that coral reefs are in tragic circumstances in many cases. We also get that there are corals that are able to come back that we didn't know could come back and ones that are really doing better than had been doing before. But what about other inhabitants of the reef? Now that the American Chemical Society is letting us know they're able to measure and quantify the other materials, what the clues are that are left by the other inhabitants in the chemistry of the reef. This is interesting. It's huge. It's also a big area of study. Let's see where we are. Oh, Bill's in Pascagoula. Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Well, I'm about to picking my climbing rattlesnake beans.
Yum.
Snap beans.
Yum.
And I wonder if I could plate some lima beans in that same spot. They call Christmas lima beans.
Yes,
I'm
not going to start them in June, though. Even in Pascagoula, I'm going to wait. I'm going to let the heat of June, go into July, and then it'll be time to plant. If you can till your vines under from the rattlesnake beans, that'll be all the better for the butter beans.
That's right. Okay, I'll use that same trellis. Okay, that's what I wasn't sure about. I'll go ahead and get my seed now and get them.
Wonderful. Thank you for calling today, Bill. Good to hear from you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That's one of those things. I don't know about y'all, but between lady peas and lima beans, I know I'm in the South. Now, granted, there's a lot of other things that they're foods that we associate, but when we start talking about the time to plant limas and the time to pick the lady peas, we know we're doing a little bit more for ourselves than other people might be. We might be a little bit better fed, a little bit smarter too, for that matter. Speaking of smarter, I did not know this. Lance, you probably knew this. I did not realize.
I play.
He's going to tell me he did anyway. I know that ship worms, like book binding bugs, those kinds of things, these are a real thing. It's not that anybody made this up, but no one's ever been able to understand how this happened, how they work, how they're able to do what no other critter can do, which is eat a ship. Well, we have finally found out the sub-organ in their gut, which you and I do not have, my friends, but this particular critter does. It's the tiflosol. This is the ability to secrete the enzymes that are needed to digest, yes, lignin, the inside of the tree. This is huge now that we know what will actually dissolve it. Not that we want, I mean, we can't stop the shipworms, but we can put that to use in other circumstances, other applications. And given the numbers of trees that we have to do something about, I think that having some lignin to digest them will probably be very helpful towards putting them to use in another context. Years ago, I did a program called 10 things to do with a dead tree, and I'm going to have to make it 11 after this story. That's a big deal. But yes, there are plenty of things. There are plenty of things to do with a dead tree. This is great. Joe, you're so terrific. Joe in Madison says, thank you for the seasoned oil recipe that I put into my newsletter this week. And he's going to be using it. I really like it. It's great for when you have too much herbs, particularly in that kind of stuff. You're trying to make it into something, and not everybody wants more vinegar, but you can make an oil. It's Alton Brown's recipe, so I did steal it, but I adapted it to the herbs that I have. It's a real good one, though, and I'm glad he's going to like it. He's going to appreciate that. We will get very busy pretty soon harvesting all of these things. This all came about as a result of the fact that my basil is growing that I seeded, but I already had basil, and then I got some more basil as a gift. So there you have it. Next week coming up, I'm taking a bit of a journey. I'll be away, and our dear friend Mark Peaches Patrick will be here with Lance. They're going to keep things rocking and rolling.
Yeah, and guys, y'all sent us about 50 picks today, so that was amazing. I want y'all to absolutely wear out Peaches on Saturday.
He will be here. We're going to put him to work. I will be away, and then I will be back the following week to tell you all about it. Thank you very much. This is the Garden Mama Show.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
If you are building a new home or remodeling an older home, Amazing Propane is for you. A propane tankless water heater, a propane generator, a propane gas grill and oven, propane fireplaces, even lighting. Propane, such a versatile, clean, cost-effective source of energy for any home. Propane, clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com to learn more.
you suffer from...
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.